This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Time, Michael. I know you're probably not paying attention to the basketball side of things, certainly not the college basketball side of things, but this is a local matchup coming up on Saturday at 3 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. The Rocky Mountain Showdown basketball edition. The Colorado Buffaloes are 8-0 after beating Washington 81-68. Do they even basketball, bro? And they beat Cal Baptist. They beat Cal Baptist 78-70. I don't want your excuses. They lost. Your school lost. Your school got their ass kicked by the Colorado Buffaloes.
They would lose to Ames.
Probably valid. The Aardvarks are pretty. You got a hell of a corner three shooter. The Buffs are 8-0. The Colorado State Rams have kind of hit a weird patch, although recovered the last couple of games. Losing to DU was not fun. Had a close game against Virginia Tech. Then bounced back and beat Wichita State and then South Florida. Long story short, Michael, they play Saturday. Buy or sell. The Rams or the Buffs? Who you got?
I'm going to go closer to home and say Rams.
All I'm saying is we all know who's going to win this game. That's all I'm saying. We all know who's going to win. Enough said.
No, you're not picking a team.
We all know who's going to win, okay? We all know what's going to happen here.
You give me a hard time when I give generic answers.
We all know what's going to happen here, Mike. I'm famous for picking a certain team to beat a certain team 2 years ago. We all know what's going to happen. Okay? Just go
You're
with
not
me.
Picking.
Just go with me on that, okay? Buy or sell. Things are going to end very poorly for Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes. The ending of the Coach Prime era will be a very harsh negative for the Buffs.
We all know how things are going to end.
Come on, you can't copy me, Mike. Do your own thing. Be original, bro. Be original, like Star Trek, the original series. You know, I'm asking you to do that. None of these new spinoffs. You think it's going to end badly? They've got a big deficit going on. Here's the thing we don't talk about much. You put a lot of money with the house settlement now. You put a lot of money to go to these players, these transfer portal players. Well, what do transfer portal players do, Michael?
They leave.
They transfer. So this is what they do. They did it once. They can do it again. Well, you're shelling out a lot of bucks for these guys to play a year or two, and then they go away. Sean Keeler asked, or, well, I don't know. It wasn't Sean Keeler that asked. Somebody asked Coach Prime. When asked about prep recruiting recently, Sanders countered that at least half of all prep recruits are more likely to transfer out within their first 2 years of eligibility. Coach Prime doesn't want to teach and nurture somebody for 18 to 24 months, only for them to spend their best years somewhere else. So he'd rather go get somebody else that spent that was nurtured and taught for a couple of years and then enter that transfer portal, give them a bunch of money, and then they're there for whatever.
Teach and nurture better.
Yeah. Dude, they are, as Keeler writes in the Denver Post, the Buffs athletic, well, he's quoting the USA Today report that came out yesterday, that Buffs Athletic is anticipating a deficit of roughly $27 million in the 25-26 fiscal year, largely because of house payments and Sanders' $10 million salary. And athletic director Rick George, who brought Deion in, he said in 2022 when they hired him that he was investing in Coach Prime with money the school didn't have. And now he's retiring. Like, I know, like, a lot of people say, oh, Rick George this, Rick George that. You got the Buffs into something that maybe you couldn't afford. And now it's just strange timing that Rick George is going to ride off into the sunset.
Was he responsible for that statue that everybody's mad about?
I'm sure he was in on the decision. Yes, is the Buffs practice facility part of athletics? Practice field, is that part of athletics, Michael?
Yes.
And is Rick George still currently the athletic director? Yes.
Yeah, but like, yes. is he really paying attention to things, yeah, or is he playing Sudoku in his office?
No, yes, he's paying attention, and that big of a thing, he was definitely paying attention to.
I feel like his legacy is going down the toilet. Maybe they should name a toilet after him.
Go Poke says you're a psycho, bro. The Buffs are lining up. They're lining up to be good next year. Are you talking about the basketball thing? Which one? I'm excited for that game. Okay. All joking aside, the Buffs are really freaking good. They are really good. You know, I like a lot of what we're seeing with CSU. They're 6-2 on the season. But the Buffs are dangerous. Like, this is Tad Boyle's swan song, Michael. This could be Tad's last year. I don't know. But he's got this crew playing at a really good level. They got this freshman, Isaiah Johnson, who's averaging 15 points per game, almost 3 rebounds per game. He had 17 points against Cal Baptist the other night. This guy is a stud. He's coming off the bench, too. I don't know if he's a one-and-done guy or what, but he's freaking good. If I'm betting with Michael's Lego set, I'm probably saying the Buffs are winning this game. But I have to have fun with it. I just posted it out last night and said, we all know who's going to win this game. See, that's the thing, Buffs fans. You don't even know. You just went to the negative. And you said, here we go again. Here we go again, Brady. You're going to pick the Rams to beat the Buffs. I just said, we all know who's going to win this one. That's it. I don't know how you can take that one way or the other. We all know who's going to win this one.
It's a great non-answer, Brady.
I do think the Buffs are going to win. What is the spread on that basketball match? Basketball match. I like to call it match now. Buy or sell. Okay, Keith Carter, the athletic director for Ole Miss. Michael, did you get those last two clips I sent you? The first one he's talking about. So Lane Kiffin is making it sound like he spoke to the higher powers above and then came back to LSU and went to the College Football Playoff Committee and said, I will allow Charlie Weiss Jr. to go back to Ole Miss and coach.
Let it be so.
Let it be so that he can go because I said so. Well, Keith Carter, again, who was speaking with Super Talk Mississippi, had this to say about Charlie Weiss Jr. and what his immediate future looked like with Ole Miss.
You mentioned a few minutes ago, the announcement came out yesterday that he was returning, would be the primary play caller for the playoffs. It feels like maybe there's a little bit of ambiguity about his future beyond the playoffs. What can you tell us about that?
Well, first let me say this. Charlie Weiss is a really, really good person. And Charlie is a really, really good offensive play caller. And so we had been talking to Charlie about, you know, coming back and calling the plays. Charlie was committed to that from the very first moment. And, you know, honestly, I think Charlie was put in a little bit of a tough spot with some of the way, you know, he was asked to go to Baton Rouge and those type of things. But, man, I could not be more fired up about having Charlie Weiss back here We were in constant communication, not only with Charlie, but with his representation. He was telling us from the very get-go that he was going to come back and call the plays, and he was not going to leave this team, on this playoff run.
Okay. So Keith Carter is saying, no, Lane. Charlie Weiss was a part of the plan from the get-go. He was going to come back. Lane's making it sound like he was the one who allowed this to happen. But according to Keith Carter, saying, no, Charlie and I have been in constant communication. He was always a part of this. He was always going to come back and call the plays. Buy or sell? Who do you buy? Who's telling the truth? Lane Kiffin or Keith Carter?
Well, my history of hating Lane Kiffin, I buy the AD 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude.
Lane Kiffin has no soul.
Lane, maybe not. Maybe not. Everyone thought he kind of like became a different man during his time at Ole Miss. Not so much there, Mr. Kiffin. 16 minutes after the hour. Sean Keeler's going to join us. We'll get into some Buffs talk. We'll talk about, I liked his last article too, talking about Nathan McKinnon. All this talk about the Broncos. All this talk about Joker's numbers. We know hockey sometimes, maybe me included, hockey sometimes takes a back seat. And what Nathan McKinnon is doing is absolutely phenomenal. And it's kind of gone under the radar around the state. We aim to change that coming up with Mr. Keeler. With Keeling Me Softly, the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
For nuggets, games, and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big week. Busy week. New coach for Colorado State is introduced. Colorado Buffaloes are bleeding money, apparently. Man, Sean Keeler, this is an exciting time. And the college football playoff scene is nuts. Lane Kiffin is maybe a really bad guy, lying a lot. I'm shocked. Boy.
Maybe.
This is a... Yeah, just maybe. I mean, every 5 seconds I'm seeing a new video come out from Keith Carter, the AD at Ole Miss, like saying, nope, that's not right. Nope, that's incorrect. No, that's not true. So what a time to be alive, my friend.
It is. And yeah, in a good way. The Rockies made a good
yes.
hire.
Yeah, yeah.
It snowed for the first time in 10
Love
months.
It.
What is coming? Are we reaching the end of the where's the doomsday clock? We're ticking closer and closer to 11:56, I think.
Well, the Nuggets keep losing players. I mean last night we and injuries and the Avs game last night too. But my goodness, Sean, it loved your piece in the Denver Post. Just you were getting after, man. You're trying to cover like every single amazing topic that's happening, and I love that you kind of made it sound like this, because this is true. Like when we talk about sports collectively, you know, it starts with the Broncos. It does, and then everything kind of trickles down, and obviously. The Nuggets with Joker, maybe not the Nuggets as a whole, but with Joker, what he's doing is phenomenal.
Yep.
Nathan McKinnon is absolutely brilliant, and he's having a phenomenal season. He's doing the things like we always tweet out about Joker, like, oh, he did this again, did this again. Yeah. Nathan McKinnon just, like you said, Nathan McKinnon quietly putting up the best season in Colorado history, available at the Denver Post, man. Great read.
Yeah, thank you. As I wrote in the column that is up now at denverpost.com, posted this morning, wrote it last night before the snow and Josh Burns hit. Great timing. I was at the Avs game last night. Nate is flying under the radar at about Mach 3.
He
is just tearing it up. We got 46 points in 26 games. No Avs player has ever done that, one. Only one Nordiques player, because you know I love my Quebec history. Please, let me conjoin those two things together. Give me the fleur de lis. Viva! Spanish, Sean. Come on.
Yes, yeah.
No, it's, and I think Peter Sastny was the only guy who's had more. points through 26 games. I think that was 48 in 87, 88. I think that sounds right. But it was 48. So he's stupid good. And he played last night, like, as he has for about the last four games, sick. Like, he's got some kind of bug. And when he wants to flip a switch, he can. I mean, on the second goal, I've watched it a billion times. I don't know why Vancouver's not covering the best player in the league. I look at that. If you watch that again, you see two guys go with Landeskog into the right faceoff circle. You go, I wonder if somebody, you know, in football we say they missed an assignment because that guy should not be just camping in the slots. Just wait. That's literally giving a layup to someone, to mix our metaphors up completely. And he didn't miss. And Landy's in pretty good form, even though he's sick too. They play better sick than most of the NHL does healthy. And that's crazy to say because it really, really is kind of under the radar right now. And, more joy for all of us. I mean, other than the Nuggets defense, and it's a pretty good day in Denver sports history right now.
I mean, the Avs are... I just can't. I mean, every night, Sean, they just find ways.
Yeah.
And even when they don't find ways, they're really not losing. They're, you know, losing. They're still getting points. What are they on? Like a what is their 17 game point streak here? I mean, that's just ridiculous,
you know,
to me.
Between 19-1-6, I think that's now the second. Is that it's either the third or the second best start through 26 games in NHL history.
Wow.
And we're getting back to that Philly team, I think, in 79-80 in the Broad Street Bullies. Like, it's just stupid. It's stuff we laugh about. But we're spoiled for good stuff. And it's great to write about. It's certainly great to watch if you're a fan. Certainly it's good to go out and see. Drive safe, everyone, if you are going out to see something wherever you are. We haven't even gotten into the 10-2 Broncos, really, with that. Or the colleges, which has been crazy too. Like you said, what a time to be alive.
Any news on two different teams, two different injury situations, but Scott Wedgwood, what was it? Back tightness last night. Is that a serious thing? Anything to be concerned about?
I don't know how serious it is. I don't know if it's a cause of concern. He is traveling.
Last night
I checked, or that's what Bednar said late last night, that he would travel. Jared seemed to poo poo it, but as I pointed out to one of my several Avs fans friends, Jared would poo-poo World War III and just say, Ukraine, upper body injury, you'll be fine. Jared is very good at poo-pooing.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to think it was that big a deal, though. It was a very curious switch at the time it went down, because you all kind of like, huh, that's – I turned to Corey, our beat writer. I said, is this something what did I miss? And he goes, we all just shrugged. He went, I don't know. You know, and they said it was back. But he is going to be traveling, and they're going to try to work him in the rest of this road trip, but maybe they don't. But when you got a 1A and a 1B, there are worse problems.
Sean, I mean, like, what is the weakness on this team right now? It's hard to – I mean, I know there for a while we had the power play stuff, but my goodness, it just doesn't matter. They're winning every night.
Boredom? I don't know. Hell, we joke about it just now, but I'd say the goaltending.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose one of those guys long term, although you could argue they could play half a season with a replacement level 1B, 2A guy and probably be okay. Yeah, when you can score five goals a night, you know, line you back up there with the Walrus pads and let it go. So I think that's a great question with this. I think there's a little bit of ennui because it is such a marathon. There's the Olympic break. It's going to be an unusual season. You're going to have some cramming and some stops and some starts. I think that helps that you have if you could build a lead with how disjointed the rest of the calendar is going to look after January, that's probably a good thing. And maybe that's in the back of everyone's minds, that it's going to get weird. And before it gets weird, let's have a lead. The other thing I would worry about, and it's got its old and cliche, Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to ignore it.
You can't ignore it. Let's be clear about that elephant in the room, both in the division and then the postseason, although no Pirate Pete, thank goodness, right now so far. I think the thing that's interesting with both winter teams, I'm not sure, and I'm going to stick to this. I said to somebody the other day, I'm not sure how vital it is that the Avs have absolute home ice advantage all the way through. Because I say that as a compliment to them. I think what they do works anywhere, and I think the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoff bracket is a lot more random. The Nuggets comparatively really, really need home court. Does that make
sense? Well, if they could play defense at home.
And they can't win it now. So they're like, I said that. You are a complete idiot.
No, I get it. They should.
Historically speaking, yes. I would rather play Houston or the Thunder in April, May, whenever, with my home floor than it did.
True.
That was my logic. Now they've spent about 8 days making that look like utter poo-poo. So I don't know if that holds true, but historically, I say that as a compliment to the Avs and as a point of everything I've seen historically in the NBA playoffs, which is your home court is just massive. And they have some issues that they'll have to rectify. But in both cases, we have a lot of time and a long way to go. And maybe this is going to be kind of one of those bumps on the Nuggets side and one of those nice stretches on the Avs. The Avs will have their bumps. That's inevitable. It's just a matter of when, because it's not now.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Sean, you noted also, you did a piece on the Buffs, and you noted a piece from USA Today, a report at least, Tuesday, that the Buffs Athletics is anticipating a deficit of roughly $27 million in the 25-26 fiscal year. And you noted, too, like Rick George saying in 2022 that he was investing in Coach Prime with money the school didn't have. Well, he's getting out of here, at least for the most part. In June, he's like, I got him here. The rest of you guys figure it out.
Good luck. I don't mean to directly dog Rick on that. I do a little.
Yes, I do.
I am okay with it. Funny thing is, Rick and I have a lot of mutual friends, and we all get along with those mutual friends great. And Rick is actually great to talk to about anything that Rick hasn't been responsible for. Like, you ask him about the state of college sports, super smart guy, super good dude. He'll talk your ear off and say really insightful stuff. Ask him about the fact that he's basically not running his own athletic department from not running the football department. He gets a little defensive and a little upset. So we're all like that with our own backyard. It's a fascinating and yet not surprising situation. And I will anticipate a lot of public, speaking of Jared Bednar level poo-pooing, there will be some poo-pooing about the USA Today report over the days and weeks to come as we get closer to the new year and more people start, kind of rubbing their wrists about, especially National Signing Day, and they get 11, 12 guys in a really small class again, which it looks like it is. Because Deion's about the quality, not about the quantity. Okay, fine. We'll see. Good. A little more quantity would be good. But there are going to be serious questions asked about this investment, as there should be from the university as a whole, because you do not get Deion if you are not all in to what he wants. So what do they do? Minute one, change the admission rules. Boom, here we go. Easier transfers. Come on in. We're setting this up for you. I need more money for X, Y, and Z. Okay, we're going to try. And they got record donations and what have you on down the line. They've been record admissions. They're getting what they want. They're getting admissions of more diversity. And let me just say for the record, that's a great thing. You can say you can make a political argument one way or another. I think that's great at CU. There are tangible benefits from the Prime effect that way. But this is an arms race, and it is not cheap. And when you have a $10 million coach, you have to start asking questions about, you can't just stop being all in. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to keep, it doesn't stop. You have to keep feeding this beast. And that either has to be a full house, or that has to be so, you can't, or more Grateful Dead reunion concerts, whatever we need to do to keep generating this thing, or going back to the boosters and the alumni and saying, now I need another $22 million for my student athlete payroll next year. Like, these are now semi-pro teams. These are now semi-pro budgets. This is a tricky thing. And I think Rick George saw this coming. Oh, he absolutely, again, sharp cookie. He absolutely knew this was coming. He's getting out at the exact right time, because there are really going to be some serious medical bills from this, and everybody's premiums are going up, not just at CU. Everybody is, especially Big 12 schools that don't have It's a league of middleweights now, as we've talked about. You don't have a lot of big money donor places, and the places there are, we already know about. Texas Tech can just open up an oil well and cover this. CU cannot, and that's it's going to get uncomfortable. I think the comment that was made to faculty and staff, get comfortable with being uncomfortable, or words to that effect, is a reality. And I think athletics is going to play a part of that, because they wanted to invest in this front porch. They didn't for a long time. You can't kind of half you know what it if you're going to have Deion Sanders as the face of this. But it's expensive. And I wonder at what point the rubber meets the road and who else is gone by the time those bills come due, which they're starting to, and we'll see.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, you know, to get to that 20, is it 20 million the threshold, or is it 25? Because I keep seeing LSU.
No, it's 20 point. You got your decimals.
Okay, it's not
the
25.
The max / cap is 20.5. And I believe that goes up 3% every year to account for inflation. So when I say now it's 20, so it's 21 million next year. So it's 22. I think it goes through 2030 for the settlement. This will go away in 5 years, but I'm not sure that it will, because once you let the free market cat out of the bag, I don't think that the student athletes and the labor are going to want to give that back. So it's not insignificant. And where they do the numbers very simply is you have a coach who went from, I think, was it 4.55 million to 10. And it will be creeping towards 11, I want to say, soon. So these are not insignificant investments. They're deserved investments on some level, certainly financially, but this is also real money. You can't just play around with this. And this is why the Big Ten wants venture capitalism involved, because they know where this is going, and you are now playing a different ball game. And I'm surprised, frankly, that the whole Big 12, as desperate / innovative as Brett Yormark is, that they haven't sold everything for naming rights. Like, literally, I think we've talked about this. Literally talked about the league being sponsored. I'm surprised this is not the All-State 12.
I thought they were doing that.
They all need this money. Like, this is not going away.
Yeah.
Like, this, you know, Michigan and USC could play the "we're too big for this game" all they want. Fine. Most schools, including CU and certainly CSU, cannot. Everything is for sale. Everything. Anything that can be nailed down or branded, it's got to have some kind of sponsorship on it if they can find it. Because the payroll thing is real. And the cost, certainly at CSU too, with got a little nice bump for Jim Mora, is real. I mean, it's real everywhere. And I'm not sure it's going away.
Sean,
so I think it's a crazy time.
Are the Buffs, whether they have it or not, are they asking for it? Are they getting it somewhere? Are they getting to that threshold, that 20.5?
Yeah, they're at the max. Rick said they're going to pay the max.
So is that
pay the max?
Yeah.
Who's going to come? CSU doesn't have to pay the max because it's only the Power Four conferences. And they want to, because they want to compete with that one, but they won't get there because that's just too much.
Where are they? Is it donors strictly? Are they having to pull this from different resources throughout the college?
Well, now they're having, as the USA Today story and others have noted, and we've written about this too, they have been pulling from the general fund pretty hard for about 2 years to try to make a balanced budget, because they have to, because, you know, every January they have to turn in what are the public documents that anybody can see, and we've seen as well, is every mid, late, early January they do the fiscals from the previous year and turn that in, which is what they're working on right now, because we're a month away from what they have to legally turn into the government. So they want that to be balanced. And basically what the leak is that they pretty much done the numbers already and said, well, we did better here, we didn't do better here, and our coach got a 100% pay raise, whatever it was, 95%, and we now have a $20 million player payroll. Yikes.
Oh, my goodness.
You're going to have to dig even. So, yes, short answer, they are digging even deeper into the general's university fund, student fees, et cetera, to pay for athletics at CU. And this is true, again, in a lot of Power Four places now, and maybe CSU a little bit as well. CU is not self-sufficient. It is your goal to be self-sufficient. We are merely the entertainment arm of the university, therefore we'll be our own little fiefdom. Yeah, well, now you're going to get probably 20% of your budget paid for by the school as a whole and by undergrads as a whole who may not have ever been to a bus football game at Del Givendar.
Oh, Sean, these numbers make my head spin. They make it spin.
It should, but it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's not going away. This is the new world. And get on board.
Yeah. Great work from you, man, on all this. Keeping up with everything. Big stuff happening in the state of Colorado. Not always positive, but big stuff, man. It's fun. Sean, appreciate
it. Enjoy the snow, my friend.
I will.
Thank you for having me.
Well, shoveling is not as fun now that I have a larger backyard.
But I saw you Monday. You're in good shape. Your beard's gone, but that's okay.
I think I'm going to grow back out, man. My face was really cold today, so I need what you had today. Your beard would have kept me warm. That sounded weird, but it's true.
Brady, no one wants what I have.
I do. It's a good beard.
Yep. Oh, it's not good. It's mostly fat. It's fat with a little hair. You shave it off. It looks like Peter. And with that, I bid you adieu.
Sean, so appreciate it, man. You be careful out there, bro. We'll talk to you soon. Sean Keeler, Denver Post. And that's the thing. Like, GoPokes is saying, like, hey, that's how Ohio State pays like $50 million plus for a football roster. They just do $5 million in revenue sharing, $45 million NIL. It's a joke. I don't. What are you going to do? Like, I'm getting tired. I love talking about this stuff, but I'm almost getting tired of talking about it. It's almost getting too much. 41 minutes after the hour, so we won't talk about it. Let's talk about the Broncos, Mike. Freaking Broncos. Got the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders were very close to tying the game against the Broncos late last time they played. Are we going to see that again? Are the Broncos going to take care of their freaking business, go knock the Raiders on their ass, and put themselves in that prime spot to take the number one seed away from Vrabel and Drake May's Patriots? Let's talk about it next. It's the whole show. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door, whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into the show. City of Greeley new utility program is here. It's packed with tools to help you save time, water, and some bucks. Explore rebates for high-efficiency toilets and irrigation systems. Paying your water bill is much easier, and setup takes just a couple of minutes. You can sign up at greeleyco.gov/my-utilities to get started. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Now, a lot of people are talking about the Broncos and the way they're winning games, right? They're all really close games, whether it's a good team or not so good team, kind of like Washington. Michael, in 2015, when the Broncos won the Super Bowl, they had a lot of those close games. And they were against good teams, bad teams. They beat, to start the season, they beat the Baltimore Ravens by 6. The Ravens went on to be 5-11 that season. They beat Detroit. That was before Detroit became Detroit. They beat them by 14. Okay, that was a 7-9 team. They beat Cleveland. Now, again, this is Brock Osweiler, but Peyton Manning wasn't playing very well either. They beat Cleveland by 3 in overtime. The Browns went on to finish the season at 3-13. They beat a 6-10 Chicago team by 2. They beat a 4-12 San Diego team at the time by 14. They beat a Cincy team. That was a 12-4 Cincy team. They beat, and then they beat San Diego twice that year by seven, and then beat them by seven the second time.
That's a
4-12 team. So the point is, Mike, the wise guys are going to say, oh, I don't like how you're winning games.
Get off my lawn.
This team won a Super Bowl that we're talking about, and it wasn't pretty all the time. The main difference is that was a defense that was creating turnovers and scoring situations. But where the Broncos lack that, they're making up for it with, I think, a better offense. Bo Nix's numbers, we talked about it, are better than, on pace to be better than Brock Osweiler or Peyton Manning that year. You have a more potent offense than you did that year, even though you don't have the defense that's taking it away and scoring like you once did. Bottom line is, it doesn't matter how you win these games, just that you win them. Wouldn't mind beating the Raiders by more than a field goal and hoping that they miss a field goal late to send it to overtime.
How about 28-0?
That'd be fantastic. I would sign off on that today. Michael, 49 minutes after the hour. What did you learn? We'll be right back.
The Hall of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn today, Michael? We learned that Lane Kiffin might be lying? What? I don't know. We learned that the Avs are really freaking good. Nathan McKinnon, I don't know if you can call it under the radar, but kinda. There's a lot happening, and Nathan McKinnon is having a phenomenal season, leads the NHL in goals. I mean, it's phenomenal. We learned the Buffs are in trouble financially. Mike, what'd you learn?
Well, that's the only thing of what you said that I learned. I didn't know they were that in trouble. I already knew that Lane Kiffin
was a liar.
Had no soul.
Liar.
By the way, Paul Bisnett, analyst, hockey analyst for TBS, huge fan of Nathan McKinnon, thinks that he's going to be one of the greatest players of all time.
Wow, breaking news.
To Wayne Gretzky.
Breaking news. Nathan McKinnon is going to be. Yeah. He's going to be one of the greatest players of all time. No question about it.
Next to Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. I'll sign off on that 100%.
Great one.
Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.